Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 The Supreme Lord is equal to everyone. Continuing on from Saturday's class, and this is verse 22. Right? Shri Badarayani Uvacha. Shri Badarayani Uvacha Yagastad Vacha Akarnya Narado Bhagavan Rishi Tushta Prahatana Pasya Srimvatyastat Sadakata. begged and cajoled and even threatened that I would stop speaking Hungarian unless they learned English. Look, it's very, very slow process. Only some gifted people like Radha Krishna take to. Somehow or another they think this should be the world language and everyone should learn Hungarian as opposed to them learning English. Here's something from everyone. Everyone speaks. No purport. There's no purport. But just before going on to the other verbs, it's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada qualifies Nard Muni, this word Bhagavan, Bhagavan Rishi words, as well as his position. As he says, Narada Muni, the most powerful spiritual master who knew everything. So the word spiritual master doesn't come up here in the Sanskrit. Rather, it's Rishi or sage. But Srila Prabhupada establishes him in the position of spiritual master using the word Bhagavan, which is a word that, of course, is used to address Krishna, or those who are more or less on the same platform as Krishna. Krishna tells Uddhava, the devotees who fully surrender to him and dedicate themselves to him, he says, they attain equal opulences to my own. Of course, not equal in a ultimately quantitative sense, but equal in that they also attain that same perfectional platform which Krishna is on, the spiritual platform, the transcendental platform. And therefore they're also addressed as Bhagavan. Srila Prabhupada goes through this quite often, explaining why Bhagavan is also used for great personalities like Narada Muni. But Srila Prabhupada is the most powerful spiritual master who knew everything. I'm just elaborating a little on this yesterday because we spent the whole afternoon, myself, Kalavana Maharaj and Pragosh Prabhu, talking about spiritual masters. Pragosh, you catching it? And of course the fact that Srila Prabhupada here is saying that first he says the most powerful spiritual master also makes implication that there are less powerful spiritual masters. Most powerful spiritual master is someone who knows everything. Earlier on already, Vyasadeva already addressed Narada, and I forget the verse, which says that you know, you're like the air and you know everything, for you're like the air within, all pervading. This all-cognizant nature of Narada Muni, someone who really knows everything, past, present, and future, Krishna also says. He says, I know everything, I know past, present, and future. Really puts Narada Muni in a different category of the most powerful spiritual masters. And then there may be, there are less powerful spiritual masters who don't necessarily know everything, who are on different levels of spiritual realization. And then there are even spiritual masters who know very little, because there are Vaishnavas of different categories according to their level of learning. However, even if they are not as qualified as Narada Muni, which you could say would be the ideal, but there's only one Narada Muni anyway. Although there could be many Narada Muni dasas. Still, by strictly following Srila Prabhupada, would qualify great personalities like Narada Muni, or members of our Guru Parampara, or Srila Prabhupada, then one can still act in a position of spiritual master. however, the misunderstanding should not be there, that just because someone's a spiritual master, automatically he's most powerful, automatically he knows everything. There's in different Vaishnava Shastra, or that was another book that we were looking at yesterday, this Krishna Bhajanamrita, where it's described Vaishnavas are different levels of spiritual advancement. Rupa Goswami goes to pains to point this out. Srimad Bhagavatam explains Ishvara Tadatineshu, there are three different levels of Vaishnavas. And similarly, because actually Vaishnavas act in passive spiritual masters, similarly Vaishnavas are also in the position of spiritual master. And Narada Muni, amongst the Uttama Adhikaris, or even the Mahabhagavatas, he is in a unique category. He's like in a category of his own. In the first canto, when the astrologers were actually reading the horoscope of Maharaj Parikshit, and then they used this phrase they called the Mahabhagavato Mahan, which means that amongst Mahabhagavatas, he's Mahan. He even stands out amongst Mahabhagavatas, Parikshit Maharaj. So there's so much variety within the realm of devotional service. And since Srila Prabhupada didn't elaborate any further, then I'll just read the next verse, which starts to answer. This is Shukadeva Goswami's answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question about how it's possible that the Supreme Lord appears to be preferential to someone, partial. Excuse me, I'm not used to speaking English. How it is partial, because partiality is a material characteristic, it's a trait of a conditioned soul. Sukha, dukkha, samekatvaka, someone who is used to happiness and distress, fame and infamy, heat and cold. I like someone, I don't like someone. But how can Krishna, who himself says samoham, he says, but I'm equal to everyone. Of course, that's the first part of the verse. And then the second part of the verse, aside from saying samoham sarvabhuteshu namedvishta priya, so Krishna even qualifies that yes, I'm equally disposed to everyone. And this answer is a very interesting argument. And there's another argument to that, that if Krishna is equal to everyone, and as the example is given here, he gives liberation to a person like Shishupal who hates him. Shishupal Dantavakra, these are the last incarnations of Jaya and Vijaya, at least the last three. Then Tamarashula Prabhupada says that they voluntarily come as Jagai and Madai, just to participate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. But that was a fourth, that was like an extra appearance. Because if Krishna deals with demons in the same way that he deals with devotees, and he doesn't make any distinction, then why are we here? Why are we practicing devotional service? So then the question also comes up that does Krishna lack discrimination? What's the point of practicing devotional service if you can be a Shishupal, you can just blaspheme Krishna all your life, and then you attain the same destination? And as we see, when the word liberation is used, it doesn't mean the same destination. It means something a little different. But just going back to this book, I was looking, this canto, Srila Prabhupada calls The Science of God, which is one of the 10 subjects of Bhagavatam. Earlier in the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami starts to speak. He describes the 10 subjects, atra, sarga, visarga, sthanam, posayam, ishanu, ishanu kata, ishanu rakta. Ishanu rakta means the science of God, knowing the science of God. And within that, this particular pastime, as well as the previous pastime of Vajrayanil, also shows Krishna's, or the topic, the subject of Krishna's giving protection, posana. Krishna also maintains, he protects his devotees. That becomes very obvious here in the exciting drama of Hiranyakashipu trying to kill his little son, and under all circumstances, Krishna is always protecting him. So although here, Srila Prabhupada entitles, it's quite interesting that Prabhupada entitles all of the 10 cantos of the Bhagavatam in the same sequence that Shukadeva Goswami states them. Although in his Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says that one should not mistake that each of the 10 cantos exclusively describes those subjects. He says all these 10 topics are discussed in all of them. That's why even though here it talks about the science of God, still we see how much the Lord's giving protection to his devotee is actually being highlighted. And then one of the main aspects of the science is the whole Varnashram system, which Narada Muni describes in detail. But Prabhupada describes like that. And then from this particular question of the Lord's partiality, then we come to actually how it was that the Lord actually gave protection to this little boy, Prahlad. The question actually comes from how is it that Shishupal and Dantavakra attained this very elevated destination, which even yogis and gyanis have difficulty attaining, liberation. And then he tells the story, and in that way we hear about Prahlad Maharaj. I'll just read this next verse and the purport, which introduces this very interesting topic, which I just glanced at some of the comments that this that Jiva Goswami gives on these topics in the Sandarbha, and he talks about it everywhere. Sandarbha talks about it in the Krishna Sandarbha and Bhakti Sandarbha. Very very interesting. So next verse says Sri Narada Vibhacha, Narada Muni is replying. Nindana stava satkara nyaka nyatara tam kalivaram sadhana pariyurajan avivekena kalpita. The great sage Naradaji said, O King, Sri Naradaji, blasphemy and praise, chastisement and respect are experienced because of ignorance. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of the external energy. And then Srila Prabhupada gives a purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Ishvara sarvutanam didishya janatistati brahmayan sarvutani antrarutani maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart or ajuna and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. A material body is manufactured by the external energy according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned soul, being seated on this machine, wanders throughout the universe, and because of his bodily conception of life, he only suffers. Actually, the suffering of being blasphemed and the enjoyment of being praised, the acceptance of a good welcome or of chastisement by harsh words, are felt in the material conception of life. But since the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not material, but Satchitananda Vigraha, he is unaffected by insults or greetings, blasphemy or prayers, being always unaffected and complete. He does not feel extra pleasure when offered nice prayers by the devotee, although the devotee benefits by offering prayers to the Lord. Indeed, the Lord is very kind to his so-called enemy, because one who always thinks of the personality of Godhead as an enemy also benefits, although he thinks of the Lord adversely. If a conditioned soul thinking of the Lord as an enemy or a friend somehow or another becomes attached to the Lord, he receives great benefit. I won't go forward with it's a contextual statement. It's not a standalone verse. It continues on. And it's very relevant, obviously, the teachings that Narada is giving. And then you come to very very famous verses that are quoted by Srila Prabhupada and others later on, such as, if you can just recall, just remember this, it's sort of a mind-bender. I'm going to try to mention it. Narada Muni says, by devotional service, one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity towards Him. That is my opinion. That's an important verse, one that Prabhupada comments on, because needs commentary. And Katmanu Pina Vinata Sep Panchama. Somehow or another, one must consider the form of Krishna very seriously. Then, by one of the five different processes mentioned above, one can return back home, back to Godhead. Atheists like King Vena, however, being unable to think of Krishna's form in any of these five ways, cannot attain salvation. Therefore, one must somehow think of Krishna, whether in a friendly way or inimically. Anyway, there's a lot of things that get unpackaged in these verses. But here, first, Narada Muni is pointing out that conditioned souls identifying with their material bodies, they're the ones who are affected by praise and blasphemy. Therefore, someone who praises them becomes a friend, and someone who criticizes them becomes an enemy. And so one gets into this duality of friends and enemies. And then Prahlad Maharaj says as much to Gaurani Kashyapu later on. Very, very boldly, he says to his father, he says, your dear father, your concept of friends and enemies is just all illusion. He says, there's no such things as friends and enemies. It's only just because you're in the bodily concept of life. And then Narada continues, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Srila Prabhupada has pointed that out in this purport, Krishna is not on the bodily concept of life. So whether he's being praised with verses, and it was an interesting statement, or whether he's being criticized, that doesn't actually change his attitude to the living entities. So Prabhupada makes this interesting statement. He says, he does not feel extra pleasure when offered nice prayers by the devotee, although the devotee benefits by offering prayers to the Lord. In other words, indeed, the Lord is very kind to his so-called enemy. So Krishna has points out that, yes, I'm the father of all living entities. And as a father is really has this basic equipoised attitude to all of his sons. And yet at the same time, we see that the father will respond differently. Even though he, as a father, loves all of his children, but a good child, he will obviously reward in order to increase his good behavior, and when a child acts badly, he will correct him. And just because he corrects that child, which appears like the same type of reaction that conditioned souls in the material world behave, that, oh, someone who corrects me, I don't like him. Just because he corrects him, or to go up to the extreme, just because he kills him doesn't mean he doesn't like him. So here in this world, we kill people because we don't like them. The example that doesn't apply to that statement, for instance, is a judge. A judge is meant to be impartial. He deals with the impartial, impersonal law. The law says, here's this person, he committed this crime. He has to be hanged, so the judge has him hanged. That person committed a crime, he killed someone. Those family members, they're very upset and they hate him. But the judge shouldn't hate him. The judge just impartially applies the law and has him killed. Similarly, Krishna also. When a demon approaches Krishna, that demon's enmity doesn't faze the Lord. On the other hand, the demon wants to fight. The demon wants to kill. So Krishna reciprocates. And he will then kill the demon. And the demon gets a very special type of benefit. He achieves liberation. Now this doesn't happen with other incarnations of the Lord. They don't achieve liberation. They become purified of their sins. But they don't attain liberation. They don't attain liberation, say Yajamukti, and they don't attain liberation like, for instance, Putana attained by going back home, back to Godhead. This is Krishna's special characteristic. So when Jaya and Vijaya are killed by Lord Ramachandra, when they're killed by Lord Nrisimhadev and Lord Varaha, there's no mention of their souls entering into the body of the Lord. But here, and this is what draws the attention of Parikshit Maharaj, how is it that this Shishupal, he then attains this perfection? Because this is the blessing that actually Krishna gives. This is a special, unique feature and characteristic of Krishna, one of which distinguishes him from his other incarnations. When Brahma says, oh, what a blessed death. Correct me if I said something wrong there, Purananda Maharaj, if you're going to look it up. Brahma's death.
Well, I'm just thinking that nectar devotion has the 64 qualities of Krishna. And Narayan has 5 qualities, special qualities, and one of them is that he gives liberation to the souls that he kills.
That's something that we should discuss. According to Jiva Goswami's interpretation, that type of liberation means that he frees them from sinful reaction, and just like in the example of Jaya and Vijaya, they go on to their next birth. But to actually attain a perfectional stage and a liberated stage that Krishna gives. But I stand to be corrected, maybe it's something we can also discuss at the end of the class. Partiality. So Krishna says, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Namedveshtostina Priya. No, I don't envy anybody. I don't reciprocate with their envy of this of me. And I don't favor anybody. But, and then it says, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Namedveshtostina Devajanti Pumam Makta Mayatuteshu Chapiham. But because those who are worshipping me, but I have to reciprocate, but if someone has a favorable attitude, if to someone I'm particularly dear, then I'm also obliged to actually show a type of dearness. They become particularly dear to me. So those who do bhajan, whether it be the devotees or the yogis and the gyanis or brahmins, Krishna makes statements about those who are particularly favorable or interested in searching out after the absolute truth, albeit even in its different features. And then, but then the question comes up, but then if Krishna gives liberation, and I think earlier the statement was that Jai Vijay enter into the, yes, Prabhupada here says, that for some time they merged into the body of the Lord, and then later they achieved the liberation of Sarupya and Salokya. So the demons really attain this type of perfection, and later verses will also say, then what becomes the benefit of practicing devotional service if the same perfection is attained? So one is that the word liberation often is a generic term that refers to a lot of things. Sometimes, in its lowest sense, it can mean just freedom from sinful reaction. It often means, in the case of demons, and generally, in the case of demons, it means sayujya mukti, to merge into the effulgence of the Lord, or to merge into the existence of the Lord. In certain cases, special cases, it may mean that one actually attains one's original eternal spiritual form, as in the case of Putana. This was in Uddhava's conversation with Vidura, this Ahobaki verse, Ahobaki Stana. He speaks with Vidura and he explains how merciful Krishna is that he gives the position of a nurse or a mother, just like a mother, to this Putana, although she came actually to poison him. And then we had yesterday, Rinasur Prabhu was pointing out that Sanatana Goswami says, just because she looked like a devotee, gave this position. So then does that mean that if you have the type of attitude that you're willing to kill Krishna, poison Krishna, you get the same benefit as the devotees? And I remember reading that Putana Leela in Gopal Champu. Then Jiva Goswami points out, no, Putana does not get the same benefit as the gopis. He raises this hypothetical question that when Putana, and it's very interesting how it's described, because the Acharya is described differently. He says Putana flew out the window and then fell down outside, whereas Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that she ran out the door and fell down outside, dead, with Krishna on her breast. Yes, Bhagavatam says that that her breast was smeared with poison, and Jiva Goswami said that her breast milk itself was poison. So sometimes there's all these little differences of opinion, different statements. But that he brings up this point, he says, well then what's the use? If these gopis, some of these are eternal associates, but many of them are sadhakas, these elderly ladies, Mother Yashoda's associates, they're coming every day. Finally, they took birth in Vrindavan, and Vrindavan in the material world where Krishna appeared, and they're coming to Krishna's association, and they're attaining perfection by the association of Krishna's associates and by seeing Krishna himself and rendering direct service. So you mean to say that this demoness, she's going back to Godhead to become a nurse, and be a nurse or like a mother, and they're going back to Godhead to be a nurse like a mother? It makes the devotees want to lose the impetus. So he says, he clarifies, and then as he usually does, he analyzes with his brilliant Sanskrit scholarship and logic and everything, the words, and he says, Eva, she's just like a mother. Just like a mother means that she didn't attain the position of a mother, she didn't even attain the position of a nurse. He says, well, actually, she attained the position something like a nurse, and she didn't actually get to go to Braj. She got to go to that place where Krishna is worshipped, in Goloka Vrindavan, where he's worshipped in on reverence, in Aishwarya. Goloka, not to Braj, where everyone is absorbed in spontaneous love, but she got a perfection where awareness of Krishna still dims that spontaneity. So, no, they didn't get the same result. Although Krishna gave special concession to Putana, but still she did not get the very, very same result. So here he addressed this charge that Krishna lacks discrimination. And he says, no, Krishna does maintain his discrimination, and because of the sadhana of the devotees, because of the effort that they make to serve him, because anukulyena Krishna anushilanam, because they approach him favorably. Therefore, they always attain a unique status, even though when such general statements are being made in Shastra, that both the devotees and the humans attain liberation. And this the statement of Narada Muni, which is in Srila Prabhupada, also qualifies it at length. He says, that is my opinion. He says that these demons, like Kamsa, he's so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. But what he's saying here is the absorption due to fear and envy and hate that Kamsa had towards Krishna was so intense that that type of intense absorption is very difficult to attain through regulated devotional service. We're sitting here in the morning chanting japa. So how intensely after 10 years, 15, 20 years are we absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, of thoughts of the sound of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? How intense is our absorption? So he's just pointing out that by regulated devotional service, it's very, very difficult to attain that. But Kamsa didn't do anything, you know, any devotional activity. But by being afraid of him, he attains a certain type of absorption. And that absorption is a very powerful thing if it's absorption in the form of the Lord. And that's why later on he makes this statement qualifying Bhagavena. He didn't believe in God. Neither did he believe in the form of the Lord. Neither do the Mayavadis. So even though Mayavadis may be absorbed in some way, they go to hell. Vena also goes to hell. Because he had no absorption in Krishna's form or in Krishna's pastimes. Kamsa's always thinking, I'm sending this demon, and he did this to this demon, and he swallowed the fire, and he chastised Kaliya. So he's absorbed in these pastimes of Krishna. So that absorption in the pastime, and I think Srila Prabhupada says, mentions it, the absorption is purifying, and it purifies the hate that's there. And gradually one becomes free from this inimical or the unfavorable attitude and comes towards the favorable attitude, if in the meantime he doesn't end up getting killed by Krishna, like comes with it. So it's not meant to suggest by any means that don't practice devotional service. Yes, we need to practice devotional service. And of course these extreme examples are generally given there in scripture to show the extraordinary potency of devotional service. They're given as exceptional examples, which shows the potency of devotional service, which isn't a recommendation that necessarily this is, that we should go for the extreme, just like there are statements to show, for instance, in Purana, somewhere in Puranic literature, how a hawk is chasing a pigeon around the temple, and because it chases the pigeon around the temple three times before it catches it and eats it, the pigeon goes back to Godhead. So it shows how powerful devotional service can be. Whether every pigeon who dies near a temple goes back to Godhead is another thing. But it's an exceptional circumstance, exceptional case. And in the same way, these exceptional circumstances are given here. But what's the general process, like from the beginning to the end, is Hare Nama Anusya Kirtanam, practicing devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna. Those are the practices that are given for Vaishnavas to learn this absorption, to have confidence that yes, Krishna does favor his devotees because his devotees are going out of their way to cultivate devotional service. And by practicing remembering Krishna, ultimately one gradually cultivates that type of intense absorption, which then gives him the opportunity to associate with the Lord. But a lot of this other things becomes unpacked in these upcoming verses before he starts discussing about Hiranyakashipu. These are oft cited topics by Vaishnavas, by the Acharyas. Hare Krishna. We'll just stop there, leave the rest for the rest next following classes. Any comments, corrections, questions? Tapas Prabhu.
How is it that some demons are able to be so absorbed in Krishna and like Bhema or not? Is there something?
There it may have in some circumstances, certainly when we have histories of demons, like we have a history of Putana, how she was Bali Maharaj's sister in her past life, sister or daughter, one.
Both her sides.
And so she already saw Vamandev. She had a real attraction to Vamandev, and she actually thought, oh, how wonderful it would be if he was actually my child, I breastfeed him. But then later on, when Vamadev cheated Bali Maharaj, then she became inimical. And she said, well, if I did, then I'd kill him. If I had the opportunity to breastfeed him, then I'd kill him. So then the Lord said, all right. So she had a very positive attitude. She really got the benefit of that positive attitude, that original affection that she showed. It may depend on past lives activities, what type of association they had, who they were in their past life, or sometimes it may just be Krishna, just like Janakvija, or very special cases, or it may just be Krishna's extraordinary concern. There was one statement that Jiva Goswami, he actually cites, I can't remember, some Purana, where it expresses that Krishna was very concerned that Kalanemi, who now is Kamsa, actually received liberation. All those demons came, they attained some form of perfection or another who came to Vrindavan. And so with that idea in mind, then he went to Mathura because he also wanted to liberate Kamsa, was Kalanemi in his previous life. So that Krishna was concerned. The interesting thing was there that he was actually worried that he gets liberated. So we can express it that he wanted to kill Kamsa. And that's sort of the external feature of it, but Krishna was actually concerned that he should actually attain that liberation. So there are often Puranic reasons or references in Puranic literature that may give some particular cause, or Krishna may just decide to give some special favor. Should we stop there?
Intention plays a very important role in our lives. So what is it that, what are the factors that influence our intention in life the most?
Yes, anukulyena krishnanusuvanam. So for instance, although this absorption of Kamsa or some other demons is very powerful, it doesn't qualify as devotion. It may qualify them for devotion later on, but by becoming purified, but it has to be positive, it has to be favorable, which means that we want to please Krishna. And in order to want to please Krishna and to enhance our devotional attitude, the association of devotees, who have that attitude, talking amongst ourselves and hearing about Krishna, one becomes satisfied, one experiences transcendental pleasure. As a result of that, one becomes more favorable to hearing and chanting about Krishna and more favorable to Krishna. So the process of Krishna consciousness in itself makes one favorable. But certainly the understanding, Ishan Bukhatalan, to actually know the topics of the Supreme Lord and to know Krishna. So Krishna says, Bahavo Gyana Tapasa Kutramad Bhava Mahatha. The more we know about Krishna, the more we pay attention to his instructions in the Gita, to Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we will become favorable. And that association brings out discussing it here about Krishna and that. That makes us more positive, improves our attitude, which ultimately should become completely selfless, change our conditioned or attitude or qualified attitude to a pure attitude of just let Krishna be happy. Hare Krishna. Can I end here? Because I drank a lot of water this morning. I forgot. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.